Ah, the Bulldog, worst Queensland side in 40 years. You're only a year early. Morning to you, mate.
Well, not even a year, Jared. Good morning to you.
It's 6 months. 6 months.
They played in October.
I always said you knew your football, Dean.
Exactly. All those critics out there.
Yeah.
Raspberry to you. I'm fine.
How often do you get reminded, just out of interest? Like, how many times a day?
You know, it's still going on now. I can't remember anything like it in, what, 30-odd years of journalism. It's just ridiculous. But I guess it's just one of those cheeky, quirky lines which resonated with a lot of people. And then, of course, you know, the result put egg all over my face. Now, of course, it's been regurgitated again, what, 6-7 months later, because, you know, this is among the worst Queensland sides we've ever seen. And there's no arguing that. They've been pummeled twice. It's been embarrassing. It's been humiliating. And the gap is 70 points at the moment and counting.
I'll use another one, diabolical. They are struggling in all aspects of their game at the moment. Not only the Queensland Origin side, but you look at the club sides up there in Queensland. They're not travelling great. They've got limited amount of depth. How do they go about turning it all around?
Oh, Loz, it's a good question. I don't have answers. I mean, Kalyn Ponga and Harry Grant would more than likely be back for game three, which will give them a little bit of strike because their attack at the moment is just non-existent. But, you know, sometimes you have to just throw your hands in the air as a coach and say, you know, their side is just better than ours. It's clearly better by not a short distance, by a big margin. And I wrote that story last week, Loz, about, you know, how will this side be rated? They haven't won the series. Well, they hadn't won the series at that point. They've now claimed the series. And with that back line there, you know, where will this side rate? I mean, based on what we've seen, it'll be right up there. But do we have to bring into account the opposition? Do we say that this Queensland side's very poor? It's a difficult one comparing players and eras. But the absolute strike and the power in this side is quite overwhelming at times, Loz.
Bulldog, what do we do here about Queensland coach? Like, I feel like we have this conversation once a month. When a team loses or doesn't perform as well as they did the year earlier, or, you know, it's the coach's fault. So, again, we sit here, yeah, Queensland have been poor, there's no doubt about it, but is it the coach's fault? Do we sack the coach? Do, you know, this talk, bring the saviour, Wayne Bennett, back. Surely Queensland has got to get to a stage where Wayne Bennett's either in or he's out, and whoever you employ, you've got to allow them time to be accountable.
The funny thing is, though, in this case, Clarkie, and good morning to you too, Paul Greene only signed a one-year contract. So maybe this speculation he's brought on himself to some degree. Had he signed a 2 or 3 year deal, it may have been different. But he signed the one-year deal thinking that perhaps an NRL club may come looking. So he's only signed that 12-month, three-game contract. So, yeah, certainly they wouldn't, I imagine, Clarkie, sack him mid-contract, but he will be off contract in a couple of weeks' time. And if they get belted again, we all know how much pride Queensland has and how much stock they put in State of Origin. So if they get another whacking and it's the worst series defeat in history, because at the moment, Clarkie, the biggest points differential between the two sides was back in 2000. That was 63 points.
Yeah.
This side's already at 70 with a game in hand. So if history repeats in game three and we give them another clip across the year, gee, that winning margin could be up around 80, 90 or even 100 points. And that probably is in the sackable department, Clarkie.
Where do you think that game three will be held, do you know?
Good question, Loz. I think it'll be announced either today or tomorrow. Gold Coast was mentioned. That won't happen. Melbourne was mentioned. That won't happen. Suncorp Stadium's been thrown out there. That won't happen. At the moment, we should remember, it's still scheduled for Stadium Australia. That's the official venue at this point. And ticket sales before shutdown were going very, very strong. They were looking at a full house out there at Stadium Australia. But, of course, times have changed and it's now more than likely it will be shifted out of Sydney. We should remember, though, Loz, that if we come out of lockdown on the scheduled date, which is the 9th, the game is on the 14th. So we would be hopefully free again in terms of restrictions to attend football games. And 50% at Stadium Australia, Laurie, still a crowd of 40,000. So financially, that must be still very attractive to the NRL. But at the moment, it will be Newcastle. Laurie, that's the clear favourite at the moment. But I spoke to Clint Newton last night. There's a story I've written in today's Telegraph. Clint saying that I hope the NRL look at possibly taking it to a regional centre. And I think it's a wonderful idea, personally. It would be a great reward for Country Rugby League, a great reward for the fans out there in the bush. And, of course, we all know that bush football has been struggling in recent years. So whether it's a Tamworth, a Mudgee, a Coffs Harbour, a Dubbo, look, I don't know. And I don't know whether they'd have the money to be able to give to the NRL in terms of some sort of financial deal. But I just think taking that game to the bush would be an absolutely wonderful idea.
Yeah, no, it would be great if they could. Obviously, they've got to have the facilities to be able to hold a game like that. But some of the facilities I've been to, in particular, you know, Dubbo and Mudgee, they've got some of the best facilities going around. So it'll all be decided. Well, they won't decide today. Did you say they're going to decide today on where they play?
Oh, it'd be pretty soon, Loz, in terms of if they have to move it. Obviously, it's going to take some time.
Mm.
The 14th is coming along fairly quickly. So, mate, I was told if it does get moved to Newcastle, the announcement would be this week, because they have to get things rolling. Look, you're right, Loz. The facilities would have to be right out in the bush there. But you know what, Loz, COVID's thrown up a lot of firsts. We've had so many in rugby league, and generally speaking, you wouldn't consider taking a game of State of Origin status to regional towns. But we live in a funny old world in these times, and
anything's possible.
Something has struck a chord inside me to think it'd be a great venture.
Yep, anything's possible, and if they could make it happen, I'm sure they certainly would. What about the big story, though, out of Origin 2 is Nathan Cleary injuring his shoulder, and, you know, his season hangs in the balance. What are you hearing? Will he continue to play? Has he seen all the specialists? What's the latest you're hearing?
Yeah, it's an ongoing situation. Loz, I hate this word. It's become a very current, new age word, but the situation is fluid. Cleary at the moment is looking at 1 to 3 weeks on the sideline, as far as I know. There is a suggestion he could miss the year with surgery. I made a few calls about this yesterday. I was told, Loz, that surgery could be at the end of the year. Again, all these are moving parts that changes every day, but certainly if it was season-ending, it would be a horrendous blow for the Panthers. You know, fortunately, they could have Jerome Luai and Matt Burton in their halves, so they could cover it to some degree, but clearly not to the degree of which they offer with Nathan Cleary available. But look, at this point, Laurie, I don't think he'll be out for the year. Obviously, further scans will happen over the next few days and we'll know more. But as it stands right now, my information is he'll miss up to 3 weeks, but not the season.
Dean Bulldog Richie joining us. What do you got for us?
No, I was just laughing at Rod's text message. The grass is fast now.
In regards to Kyrgios, yes. He was complaining about the slow grass before. Yeah. We did have a text here. We've got Roger Rashid soon. Morning, boys. You were commenting on Kyrgios complaining about the slowness of the courts. I've watched Wimbledon for 20 years, and these courts are absolutely disgusting. I've never seen them as slow in all my time watching. Hasn't left their name, but we'll ask Roger Rashid about that. But Bulldog's joining us in Bulldog at Newcastle. Now, which two off-contract players are talking to the Knights?
Yeah, there's talks that are ongoing, Amido, regarding Dane Gagai and Dale Finucan. Certainly no contract's been offered just yet, but the Knights are in chats with the pair regarding next season. Both are coming off contract. I think by Melbourne Storm desperately want to retain Finucan and are working exceptionally hard to try to find a way to keep him inside that crammed salary cap down there in Melbourne. And South Sydney also hoping to retain Dane Gagai, but of course they also have a pretty heavy roster out there at Redfern. But look, I looked up their ages this morning, guys. Finucan seems like he's been around forever, but he's only 29 and Dane Gagai's only 30. So both those players, you'd think, would have another 2, 3, 4 years left in them. And, I've got a big rap on Dale Finucane, Loz. I just think he's a a player, not only on the field, but just the culture he brings, the training ethic he brings, and for any club out there that is struggling, and I guess we could throw Newcastle into that bracket, any club like that, I think Finucane would be absolutely priceless.
Yeah, he brings great leadership. And as you say, Bulldog, on and off the field, and I think, you know, a struggling club, and if they've got some good young players in their system, that's who they need to see. They need to see the experienced player, what a professional looks like, and they can aspire to be like them. But he'd be a good pickup wherever he goes, Dale Finucane.
Yeah, I think Dane Gagai too, Loz. He's such an experienced bloke. He's been around for a while now. I think he might be a Newcastle boy, Laurie. I don't have that in front of me, but I think he's from up that way. And he did play for Newcastle previously. So, look, it could well be a homecoming for Dane Gagai. But, look, again, Gagai's try scoring, his ability in that South Sydney back line, he'd be a great pickup for a club like the Knights. And, you know, it's fair to say, Loz, I think that the Knights certainly have been disappointing this year. We all had great expectations on them. Things aren't quite panning out as we hoped, but you know, Adam O'Brien's a very good coach. He'll be there next year, and if he can get just a little bit more you know, excellence into his squad and into his cattle, I think that they will be a you know, a top six, top four chance from next year.
Bulldog, you talk about leadership. Is that what the Broncos are lacking? You know, what's the latest with them up there?
They're lacking everything, Clarkie. They're an absolute shambles, let's be honest. They don't have anything going for them at the moment. No player wants to go there. Their roster's a mess. No one seems to know who's coming, who's going. Tevita Pangai was told to go. Then there were suggestions he was staying. Now I'm told that West Tigers may sign him effective immediately. Matt Lodge has been coming. He's been going. The halves are coming and going. It's just a revolving door at the moment, Clarkie. Yeah. Whose fault that is, I don't know. I guess Kev's got to put his hand up for his portion of responsibility. But look, you know, Benny Eichen's going up there. He's a sharp brain. He's got a good football, obviously, now. It's going to be a tough gig. And at the moment, Clarkie, for such a powerful club, you know, I can't see them recovering from this period for another year, two, 3 years. It's quite bizarre to see such a successful club for so many years languishing and just going round in circles. And they're lucky they've got a great stadium and a great support base, because if that club down here was failing so miserably week after week, there would be just nobody turning up to their games.
Bulldog, we spoke about Nathan Cleary not playing Origin 3. Who's the most likely replacement to play halfback for New South Wales?
The options, as far as I can work out, Loz, would be either they go with Mitchell Moses, they go with Adam Reynolds, who, of course, has played Origin before. I think you might have picked him in one of your teams, Loz, several years ago. Or they just move Jerome Luai to seven and bring in Jack Whiten, and that leaves a spot open on the bench. The gut feeling I've got right at this point, Loz, is that they'll probably bring Whiten into the starting side, and that would open up a utility spot on the bench. And who that is, Loz, I'm not quite sure at the moment. But
they're going to bring Jake back too.
And they've got to bring Jake back. Yeah. There you go. Straight away, you've answered the question. So Jake comes back in, you'd imagine, and maybe Whiten just shifts into the starting side. I'd like to see Mitch Moses get a chance, Loz. I think he's been around for many years now, and he's been sort of, you know, knocking at the door, to use an old cliche. And he probably deserves a crack at Origin. Adam Reynolds, also in wonderful form. But just knowing Freddie and Brandy and how they think to some degree, I'd imagine they just make it nice and comfortable, keep the team rhythm going, and just elevate Whiten into six.
Now, McHugh has texted in, Dean, you wouldn't want, says, Dean, wouldn't you want the game on the South Coast where you and Buzz were sunbaking last weekend? That wasn't you two that was spooked by a deer?
Well, I knew where I was going, but Phil took the wrong path and ended up lost.
That's the story of COVID, just about, I reckon. We do have a text here from Jason. Hi, guys. Can you ask Bulldog, is there a feud between Pogger and Coach Green? There has been some rumours about this, hasn't there?
Yeah, there has been. Carlin's been asked several times, Mido, whether it's right. And, yeah, I didn't expect him to say yes, to be honest. He has denied it and said he gets on very well with Paul Green. But certainly in terms of rugby league media, you know, when rumours just persist and continue, you tend to think that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And look, Ponga will be back, you would imagine, for game three. But I don't think he's going to make much of a difference to this Blues side at the moment. They are just steaming along. And I actually thought they left probably two tries out there last Sunday night. I thought 26-0 could quite easily have been 40-0.
Yeah, with Nathan Cleary out, though, I think that's a significant blow to New South Wales. I think he's their key to their attack. So it'll be interesting to see whether they find the same rhythm without him. But I want to ask you, Bulldog, what's the likelihood of the World Cup going ahead at the end of the year?
Laurie, at this point, it is going ahead. But there are some suggestions out of the UK that it may be cancelled. And there's even one report saying it could be done today. So I guess we'll just keep our ears and eyes open. I've spoken to a few people in and around the Kangaroos camp, and clearly there's concerns about going to England. There's concerns about what the tournament would look like with COVID. It would also entail, obviously, going into isolation for a couple of weeks when you get home. Tournament goes from October 23 to November 27. So we should remember, too, Loz, that players would come back around the 1st of December. They would then have to go into 2 weeks of isolation, which would be mid-December. Of course, then they've got to have their six-week break through the collective bargaining agreement. So that doesn't mean they'd be back to almost the 1st of February. And I know clubs out here would be pretty dirty about star players not coming back in until Feb 1. So the World Cup organisers, Laurie, as I understand, are talking with Australian clubs and NRL and New Zealand to try to work out a way forward for this. But with all what's going on here and over in England and the players, back February 1, there's so many negatives. I can't see it going ahead. Albeit I would love to see it go ahead for the sake of rugby league, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
Bulldog, you have a great day, mate. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, boys.